सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। The 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, entitled as Moksha Sannyasa Yoga, the yoga of liberation through renunciation. Now, in the entire Bhagavad Gita, which has 701 verses, the biggest chapter is 18th chapter. The second biggest chapter is 2nd chapter. The 2nd chapter of the Gita is called as Sankhya Yoga, the yoga of knowledge, and the 18th chapter of the Gita is called as Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. The first chapter of the Gita is just Arjuna talking, so it's more of an introduction to the Gita, and after that, second chapter is the real philosophy starts in the second chapter, and we are already told that the second chapter is also the summary of the entire Gita. Whatever Shri Krishna wanted to say, he had said everything in the second chapter itself. Now, in the 18th chapter again, it's a summary. So, second chapter is the essence of the Gita, and 18th chapter also is the essence of the Gita. In between, from 3rd chapter till 17th chapter, it's an elaboration of what Shri Krishna said in the second chapter. Please put it on mute. Thank you. So, in the second chapter, he summarizes the Gita. Again, he is summarizing it in the 18th chapter. The crux of Vedanta philosophy is renunciation. To the extent you have sannyas or tyag, to that extent you can say you have understood Vedanta. It is not the words that you understand, but the ability to practice Vedanta. That is what makes you a Vedanta. So in the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna asks Shri Krishna, because Shri Krishna has been using two words, one sannyas, other tyaga. Both in English means renunciation. And Sri Krishna has been praising this all along. So Arjuna clarifies in the beginning of this chapter, please tell me what does sannyas mean and what does tyag mean? What is the difference between the two? Like I said, we need to understand this and live it. Only to the extent we live it, we have understood Vedanta. And in the Vedanta Treatise book, Swamiji says, renunciation is the secret of success and renunciation is bliss. If you have renunciation in your life, you will be able to achieve success. And if you have renunciation in your life, you will experience joy. To the extent you lack renunciation, you don't experience joy. To the extent you lack renunciation, you won't achieve success. So to combine both and bliss is renunciation. And that is why Arjuna is asking, what is this sannyas and what is this tyag? What is the difference between the two? Technically speaking, both mean the same, renunciation only. And renunciation, we have mentioned to you before, it's not giving up, it is growing up. A lot of people, misunderstanding the term renunciation, thinking that it is giving up, they run away from Vedanta, they give up Vedanta. They say, if I have to give up the world, I might as well give up Vedanta, not the world. But that is the wrong understanding of the term renunciation. Another set of people who misunderstood renunciation, they give up the world, they give up living. So one set of people don't live. Another set of people, therefore it becomes extremely important for us to understand the term renunciation. So we have explained this example before to make you understand the concept called renunciation better. And the example is of the flower maturing into a fruit. When the flower matures into a fruit, the petals of the flower automatically drop off. But when you forcefully remove the petals, the flower will not mature into a fruit. So you can't remove the petals forcefully to make it a fruit. But when it matures into a fruit, automatically the petals fall away. So when an individual is exposed to the higher knowledge, and as the result of that, he or she understands the relative sense of this world, the mind rises above what the world offers. So the mind becomes free from the preoccupations of the world. That's when it becomes free from the preoccupations of the world. That is the mental called sannyas or renunciation. So renunciation or sannyas is a state of mind which goes to the higher aspects of life. There is still some feedback. Maybe Mamtaji, you are keeping the recorder close to the microphone. Keep it a little distant.
I think this is two Manjari Gigi's on our group suddenly, and then one which is an extra, I think that mic is on.
Manjari Ji's and Shobha Ji's and Nakshi Ji's is on.
Mine is on mute, Guruji.
Okay. How is better?
Meenakshi is mute, only Manjari Ji, I think.
Okay. Renunciation or sannyas is a state of mind which is grown above the world. When a person has dropped or risen above the worldly desires, risen is a better word than dropping. Where you establish in the higher, the desires for the world automatically drops off, which we call as rising above. So when the mind rises above the worldly desires, that state is called sannyas. But earlier Sri Krishna already explained that to reach that state of sannyas, you can't give up action. You got to do the action for a higher cause and dropping the attachment to the fruit. So when you ask the world, dropping the attachment to the fruit, renouncing the attachment to the fruit, that kind of renunciation is called tyag. So tyag is the initial stage of renunciation, where you don't give up action, but you give up the attachment to the food. So when you give up the attachment to the food, that clear. So this is the difference Sri Krishna explained between renunciation and tyag. This is from verse number 1 to 6. This concept presentation is to be understood correctly so that you live your life and enjoy the life totally, so that you understand what the life offers for you to rise above it. And then he goes on to talking about tamasic, rajasic and sattvic tyag. From the time we wake up till the time we go to sleep, we are either doing action or avoiding doing action. Whatever we do and whatever we don't do, he analyzes. And by analysis of this, you can find out about your entire personality. So here, first he analyzes three types of tyag, that is from verse number 7 to 12. The first six verses, he talks about the differentiation between tyag and sannyas. He says sannyas is a mental state of renunciation, writing about desires. And tyag is when you renounce the attachment to the fruit while acting, by which slowly you write about the desires. So tyag is the process to which you attain sannyas. And you need to attain the mental state of sannyas for you to qualify to do meditation and liberate. And that is why this chapter is called as Moksha Sannyasa Yoga, Yoga of Liberation through Renunciation. Now, renunciation he analyzes and divides it into three aspects. Sattvic renunciation, which is true renunciation, Rajasic renunciation and Tamasic renunciation, which are false renunciation or fake renunciation. When he talks about sattvic renunciation, he explains by saying, you the action, but you renounce the attachment to the fruit of the action. That is called sattvic renunciation. You do what you ought to do, but you renounce the attachment to the fruit. And later on when he talks about sattvic action, the definition of sattvic action and the definition of sattvic renunciation will be the same. Therefore, if you want to separate it in one line, Swamiji beautifully separates it by saying, it is not renunciation of action, it is renunciation in action. Now what do you mean by renunciation in action? Your action is not propelled by likes and dislikes. You renounce the likes and dislikes. Your action is propelled by obligations. Your action is done for the sake of doing it for the higher purpose. There is no likes and dislikes prompting the action. So what you renounce is not in action, but the likes and dislikes prompting the action. And once you started the action, your attachment to the fruit is renounced. So basically you renounce the egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. You don't renounce the action. This is called sattvic tyaga or sattvic renunciation. And then what is this fake renunciation called, the rajasic and tamasic? Rajasic renunciation is when you renounce an action not because it is not the right thing to do, you have desire to do the action, you are attached to the fruit, but you find the difficulties there in doing the action or achieving the result. So due to the difficulty, you give up the action. That is called rajasic renunciation. And tamasic renunciation is when you give up the action because you don't understand the value of it. So due to the lack of understanding or not knowing the value of it, you give it up, it's called tamasic. When you give up an action because you have difficulties in it, that's called rajasic. When you understand the value of it, but you do not have the value for it, but you do the action for the sake of higher, giving up the egocentric desire and egoistic attitude and attachment to the fruit, such an action is called sattvic renunciation, or action that with sattvic renunciation. So therefore Sri Krishna says, you should not give up yajna, dana, tapa. Yajna means selfless action, dana means attitude of giving, tapa means austerity. So action done for the higher goal. So you've got to therefore do the action for the higher goal, renouncing the ego in the attitude of giving vis-a-vis the attitude of taking. When you do such an action, you slowly rise above the desires, which he calls as purification. Your mind becomes more and more purified. But Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So to be able to see God, you you need to purify your mind. So your mind needs to become purified of the desires. And the way to achieve that is by doing the action, renouncing the ego attachment. So therefore he says, through sattvic renunciation, your action becomes purified. And when your actions become purified, you drop the vasanas. When you drop the vasanas, your mind becomes relatively free. And such a mind which is relatively free is now available for meditation of the higher. And then if you bring your mind on a single pointed concentration of the self, then as you think, so shall you become. Then you liberate and realize the self. So therefore he says, renunciation is a prerequisite for meditation. And for renunciation, doing the action in the spirit of renunciation is extremely important that you write about. So therefore he talks about tamasic, rajasic and sattvic renunciation from verse 7 to 12. Now, if you want to practice sattvic renunciation, you need to understand the role the self plays with reference to action. So therefore, from 13 to 18, he explains the role the Atma plays with reference to action. Every one of us are a combination of the body, mind, intellect, vasanas and the Atma. So each one of us are a combination of spirit and matter. The matter is gross body, subtle body and causal body. And the gross body, subtle body and causal body is enlivened by the spirit, the Atma, the pure consciousness of the self. The combination of presence, you, being and all of us. Now, in this combination, the Atma, the pure consciousness, is merely an activity principle, a witness, a non-doer. Atma doesn't do anything. Atma is equated to the petrol in the car. We are not saying petrol in the car is Atma. To explain and understand the Atma better, we use the example petrol in the car. Whenever we talk about
Vandana, could you unmute your thing?
Yeah.
You're okay, perfect.
Okay, thank you. So, whenever you understand that you are a combination which is spirit and matter, body, mind, intellect and Atma, Vedanta helps you to understand that Atma or your real self does not do anything. It is merely an enlivening factor. And to explain this, we bring in the example of petrol in a car. No car can move without petrol. Yet petrol has no desire to move, go or not to go. You go and ask petrol, would you like to go to this car? It has no response, no reply. You ask, would you then not like to go? Petrol has no response for that also. Petrol has no desire to go or not to go, yet without petrol, no car can go. This is point number one. Please understand this, these are all basics that one must be very, very clear. Now, like I told you, this is our last class. We are concluding Bhagavad Gita today. So at least this you should be very clear. Atma is a non-doer, a karta. Atma doesn't do anything and no action is possible without Atma. Your body cannot perceive or act without Atma. Your mind cannot feel without Atma. Your intellect cannot think or contemplate without Atma. Yet Atma, your real self or you do not perceive, act, feel, think, contemplate. the combination of the body, mind, intellect and atma, which is called as Lakshmi Narayan, which is called as Sadhana, which is called as Mukta, that is doing the action out of ignorance. The combination is today thinking that our real self, I, that's the action. Due to the ignorance, we think we are the doer, but when we take the knowledge of the Atma, we understand that we are not the doer. The body, mind, intellect, that's the action. In the presence of the Atma, just like the car moves in the presence of petrol. The performance of the car depends on the engine and not the petrol. From the same petrol station, you can fuel Maruti 800 and Mercedes-Benz S500. Petrol, the car is from the same fuel station. Yet, the performance varies. That is due to the engine, not the petrol. So, each one of us here, our performance may vary. That depends upon the quality of our mind. It's got nothing to do with Atma. From the Atma point of view, we are the same. And then the third is, one car reaches the destination safely, other car meets with an accident and does not reach the destination. Petrol is not responsible for it. Yet without petrol, the car does not meet with an accident or reach the destination safely. Yet you can't hold the trooper responsible for it. Similarly, somebody who uses the Atma and abides by the Dharma of life, laws of life, like for example now section 144 is there, you don't get out so that you won't get beat up by the police. Right? So by abiding by the law, you don't meet accidents in life. By not abiding the law, you will be beaten up by the law. But Atma is not responsible for it. So Atma is what? Akarta. And whenever you are akarta, you are abhokta also. Abhokta means paap and punya is not for you. As long as you consider yourself to be karta, the doer, and when you do an action with the doership, then you develop paap and punya. With the doership, if you do unselfish action, you develop what is called punya. With that worship, if you do selfish action, you develop what is called Papa. Now when you gain this knowledge that Atma, your real self, is a non-doer and you remain a witness to whatever the body does or mind does or intellect does, then you do not develop Papa and Punya. From the spiritual point of view, from Vedanta point of view, even Punya is considered as Papa. Why? Why is punya considered as paap?
Because of doership.
Yes, what does it do? Why is it considered as paap?
Because your ego is coming into play. I did good, but I did bad. So,
why is it considered as paap? Why is the punya considered as paap?
Because you are forming a current and coming back in that cycle?
Your punya also, what does it do? The more punya you develop, you will be coming back again and taking human birth. Or birth, any birth, right? Shastra say, when you have majority punya, you are born as devata, deva. When you have majority paap, you are born as animals and birds. When you have mixture, when you are mishra, your surname may be Gupta today. But when you are mishra means mixture of paap and punya, then you come back as human beings. So in other words, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi chatmi chatirveshanyanam. God plus vasana equals beings or human beings. Human beings minus vasana equals God or Godhead. Moksha. So, when we reduce, dissolve all the vasanas, we become self-reliant. So, to this bird is called Bhav from spiritual point of view. Is that okay? So therefore, Vedanta says, you should not only become free from Bhav, you should also become free from Punya. You will become free from Bhav and Punya when you begin to understand that you are actually a non-doer. You meaning Atma is a non-doer. You are just a witness, Sakshi. Learn this word Sakshi. You are just a witness. And that is what he talks between 13 and 18. So from verse number 1 to 6 of this chapter 18, he talks about the difference between renunciation, sannyas and tyag. Both in English means renunciation. Sannyas context means state of mind which has become free from the worldly preoccupation. It is a little more evolved state. A person who has reached that state of mind which is sannyas can either take the sannyas lifestyle, give up the world and move to the forest, or he may be in the world, yet practice the spirit of renunciation. But sannyas means state of mind. Tyag is the process to achieve the state of mind, which is renunciation of the fruit of action, renunciation of attachment to the action. Ego, when you renounce and do the action, that's called tyag. This is what he talked about from verse 1 and 6, chapter 18. Then from verse 7 to 12, he talked about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic renunciation. Sattvic renunciation is nothing but sattvic action, which is you don't renounce the action, you only renounce the egocentric desires prompting the action, and you renounce the egoistic attitude while doing the action, and you renounce the attachment to the fruit of action. That is called sattvic renunciation. Then rajasic renunciation is giving up of action due to difficulties in the action, and tamasic renunciation is giving up of action without understanding the value of it. Without understanding the value of exercise which is given up, it's called tamasic renunciation. Without understanding the value of living the law of hygiene and it's given up, it's called tamasic renunciation. So therefore, he talked about three types of renunciation, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, between 7 and 12. And then from 13 to 18, he talks about Atma. Akarta, Bhokta, for Atma is the non-doer, there is no Bhava but Punya. Now this is the crux of what Sri Krishna wants to say to Arjuna and through Arjuna to all of us. And there he says, Arjuna, when you understand that you are a non-doer, and being a non-doer, even if you do the action, at the body level, which happens to be killing, in the context, because remember that there are the battles to be the Kurukshetra where to establish Dharma, Arjuna had to kill the Kauravas. Now, Sri Krishna is telling him, with this understanding that you are a non-doer, Sakshi, simply do the action as a folk in the week of life, as a Kshatriya, simply fight the battle and kill your enemies, and when you do such an action, it's called senseless action, where you don't develop any impression, samskaras, vasana. There is no path, no punya, even though you are doing the action of killing. Why? Because there is no doership here. On the contrary, even if you are doing the action of killing something, let's say, some action where you give, do some sacrifice, but there is doership. So when you do such an action with the doership, you develop what is called as punya. When you do an action which is selfish with the doership, you develop what is called as pap. So when you do an action without doership, even if it happens to be killing, you don't develop any pap or punya. And such an action in English, if we want to say, it's called an action that is done with innocence. With the knowledge of the Atma. You are doing it as Atma. There is no personal motive whatsoever. But recently, the rapists, the murderers of poor girl Nirbhaya were hanged. And the hangman simply executed the judge's order. He had no personal interest in hanging them or not hanging them. He doesn't even know the name person. He simply executed the order of the judge. And that person will neither enter Paap nor enter Punya with reference to that action. With the same spirit, if we can do what we do from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, then we also drop off impression and we don't incur any fresh impression. When all the vasanas and desires are dropped, then what remains is Godhead, what is moksha. Therefore, from verse 13 to 18, Sri Krishna talks about the nature of Atma, which is non-dual. Then I will explain this. Now, from verse number 19 to 39, in fact, from 19 to 28, and then from 29 to 39, he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, actor, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic intellect, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic riddhi or consistency or determination of willpower, and then sattvic, rajasic, tamasic sukha or happiness. So, like I told you, this portion is a very, very interesting portion. When we did this portion in our class, I told you to do the analysis of your personality. When all of us are sleeping, no one will know who is a painter, who is a businesswoman, who is a cricketer, who is a golfer, who is a speaker, lecturer, no one knows. But the moment we wake up, when we wake up, what happens? Golfer wakes up and goes to the golf course. Painter wakes up and goes to the painting room to paint. Businesswoman wakes up and goes to do business. So, the moment we wake up, our desires come out, our vasanas bring out. Thus, through our actions, we know our gunas which are inside. Is that clear? So, therefore, through these seven aspects, when you do the analysis, you can find out how much of sattva, rajas, tamas you have. And goal of life is to move from tamas to rajas to sattva and beyond on this. But and beyond, temporarily you stop it. You don't worry about going beyond. At least let us move from tamas to rajas. And then from rajas to sattva. Finally, yes, of course, we need to move from sattva to atma, beyond guna, guna atita, the self. So therefore, from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed, we are either doing something or avoiding doing something. Isn't it? Pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means doing. Nivritti means not doing. Whatever actions we believe will bring us joy, we do that. Whatever actions we believe will bring us sorrow, we don't do that. So, this is what we are doing. From the time we wake up till the time we go to bed. From the time you are born till the time we die, we either do something or don't do something. So, what we don't do, we call it as renunciation. We already talked about it from sattvic, rajasic, tamasic angle. What we do, now he is analyzing. And whatever it is we do, you can only do an action if you know how to do the action. So therefore, knowledge precedes action. Therefore, he analyzes sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge. Then he analyzes sattvic, rajasic, tamasic actor who does the action. Then he analyzes sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action itself. Then he analyzes sattvic, rajasic, buddhi with which you do the action. then Sarvi Rasik Tamasik Triti with which you continue to do the action. Then Sarvi Rasik happiness, Sarvi Rasik Tamasik happiness that you derive out of it. So when you understand this whole thing, and then what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to do the personality analysis. When you do the personality analysis, then you understand how much of Tamas Rajas Sattva you have. So knowing where you stand and knowing where you need to proceed, what you have to do? You have to do sadhana. You have to continue doing the practice. And thus slowly you move from Tamas to Rajas to Sattva and beyond. So quickly, one liner, I will explain. What is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge? Sattvic knowledge is unity in diversity. Rajasic knowledge is diversity in unity. Unity in diversity is sattvic knowledge. Rajasic knowledge is diversity in unity. Meaning, you are seeing the gunas. Tamasic knowledge is growing the path as a whole. So going by the perception, going by the action, going by the external expression, and determining that that is the entire personality, that is called tamasic knowledge. And then sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action. Tamasic action, one example, procrastination. Right? Rajasic action. Greedy, desire prompted action. Attachment to the fruit. That is rajasic. Sattvic action suggests that sattvic renunciation. Doing the obligatory duty, what you ought to do for your body, what you ought to do for your mind, what you ought to do for your intellect, what you ought to do for your family, what you ought to do for your business, your community, your country, etc. Without any ego or egocentric desires. That is called sattvic action. Similarly, when you have action done with greed, ego, egoistic actor, I am the poor attitude, then you have rajasic actor. I am a non-doer attitude, when you do an action, you become sattvic actor. Then what is tamasic actor? Who is the tamasic actor?
Mm-hmm.
You can quickly see the book and answer if you want to. And purposely ask to be about tamasic actor.
Lazy actor?
Yeah, what is that?
Lazy
actor. Pardon?
I hope you are not referring to us because you can see the book.
See, please understand it like this. Sattva, growth. Rajas, swelling. Tamas, destructive. It will become easy to understand this way. Sattva means growth-oriented action. Spiritual action. Rajas means swelling or materialistic action, stagnation. Tamas is destructive. Tamas is destructive, devolving, you devolve. Sattva is constructive, spiritual, growth-oriented. Rajas, swelling, stagnating, doership, action, greedy, attached to the fruit, etc. Tamas is destructive, devolving, detrimental. So tamasic actor is a destructive category of a person. So then she goes on to talk about tamasic, rajasic, sattvic intellect. Intellect knowing what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared. You have to fear going out today. You ought not to fear studying Gita sitting at home. They say in English, fool
crushed when angels fear to tread. Fools rush when angels fear to tread. We are afraid of what is good for us. Isn't it? Whether it is physical exercise or the food that is good for us, or discipline. Now people are afraid of staying at home. Now they understand how difficult it is to be a relative. Simply sit at home and focus on your evolution. Like Ramana Maharshi says, that the biggest challenge, greatest difficulty is to be quiet. Sumayil means just keep quiet. Now everybody is realizing it. Stay at home, very difficult. Mind wants to run. So, tantric intellect is that which knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. Clarity. Rajasic intellect is confusion. Lifestyle intellect is things or actions that one has to do. Obligatory actions are something that one needs to delegate. Isn't it? So basically, confusion, rajasic intellect is a confused intellect. Tamasic intellect is perverted intellect. What is good, it understands as bad. What is bad, it understands as good. I'll explain this with an example. What is attachment? And tamasic intellect will understand it as love. What is love? It will understand it as attachment. A teacher who is spoon-feeding will do the analysis for you, take up everything and feed you directly into your mouth if possible, crushing it and making it into a juice and to fit. Then you say, select teacher. But a teacher who provides you the knowledge that makes you struggle, think, say, he doesn't teach. So this is tamasic, perversion. Understanding love as attachment, attachment as love. Sattvic intellect is understanding love, and attachment as attachment. What is the difference between love and attachment? Quickly. What is the difference between love and attachment?
Love is not for me, my it's a global, like it's more universal. It won't be, there won't be any me and my, like my family or my person.
Okay, love simply means identification. Love is a feeling of oneness, identification. You put yourself from other person's point of view and look at the situation. That's called love. Attachment is you view the whole thing from your selfish point of view. So love plus selfishness is attachment. When you remove selfishness from attachment, it becomes love. And when you are pure love, the deeper the love, the lesser the expression. Please understand, I am not saying that one who has love will be incapable of expression. I am not saying that. But I am saying when you have deeper love, there will be lesser expression or no expression. When someone near and dear to you, very close to you, have lost their parents or somebody who's in their family, you really feel from their point of view. You go to their house, you hug them, you hold their hands and stay there. There's no expression. You are probably not speaking, you are just crying, rolling around and all that stuff. But there is pure emotion. So, when you have rajasic intellect, you understand love only when it is expressed. So you complain of a person, who is not expressing and you say, oh, he has no love. It is true, a person who is indifferent also doesn't express love. But that doesn't mean you have love, you have to always express. Are you getting it? So when you associate love with expression, it is rajasic intellect. When you understand love as attachment, it is tamasic intellect. When you understand love and attachment correctly, it is sattvic intellect. And then he talks about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic consistency. The consistency of purpose with which you continue your sadhana till you reach self-realization is called sattvic consistency. Spiritual. The consistency with which you pursue the material world is called rajasic consistency. The consistency with which you pursue destructive nature, the indulgence, laziness or unfounded concepts, that consistency is called tamasic. And then sattvic, rajasic, tamasic happiness. Happiness from beginning till end, delusory, is called tamasic. Example, the joy that one derives from procrastination, from sleeping. That is called tamasic happiness. Rajasic happiness is the joy that one gets from contact with our senses as an individual. So he says, rajasic happiness is the beginning, what? Nectar, in the end, the poison. Sattvic happiness, the ultra of it. In the beginning, it is poisonous, in the end, it is nectarine. So when you follow your obligatory duties, in the beginning it is poisonous. To get up early in the morning and study is poisonous. Go to sleep, late in the night, wake up late, lie in the bed. Next point is this, bed coffee, bed lunch, bed dinner, permanently in bed. It sounds very nice. Nectarine in the beginning and poisonous in the end. That is rajasic. Poisonous in the beginning, nectarine in the end is sattvic. From beginning till end, which is delusory, that is called tamasic. So he has talked about seven aspects. What are the seven aspects? Knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, happiness and renunciation. All these seven, he talks from sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, three angles. So you are supposed to do a matrix of 7x3 and plot yourself where you stand in each of these aspects and take an average, and then you know how much of tamas, rajas, tamaswa you have, how much sattva you need to do to increase sattva and then go beyond sattva again, self-realization. So this is between verse 19 to 39. Now this brings us to the summary of the half of the chapter. What we call as 18a. Now 18b begins. There is no ba here, just for our understanding. So once you understood your personality, how much of sattva rajas tamas you have, according to the permutation, combination of these three gunas, you either become Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Therefore from verse 40 to 44, he talks about this. If you are highly sattvic, and then next level is rajas, then you have very little tamas, you are a Brahmana. It has got nothing to do with your birth. Lot of people understand Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra with reference to Janma and Karma. It's got nothing to do with that. Guna, according to Guna, Sri Krishna tells this time and again. Guna Traya Vibhaga Yoga. According to your Guna, you are either a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. If you are high rajasic and you have good amount of sattva and very little tamas, then you are a kshatriya. If you are highly rajasic and good amount of tamas and little sattva, you are a vaishya. If you have high level of tamas and little rajas, very very little sattva, then you are a shudra. Is that clear? So according to the three permutation combination of these three gunas, you are either a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. What he is trying to say here is, some people have the nature of being a teacher, a philosopher, somebody who is brahmanical in nature, for instance, the gunas, priest. Somebody is administrator, leader. Somebody is a businessman, trader, agriculturist. Somebody is service provider. So doesn't matter, it really doesn't matter, because according to Vedas, all are equal. Nobody is inferior, nobody is superior. Veda doesn't keep them in the ladder, it keeps them on a platter. When everything is kept on a platter, they are at the same level. If at all you become superior, you become superior according to the level of sattva. So our sattva, atma, atma-rahasiddhi is called as maha-atma because of this consent of sattva. Are you with me? So you don't become superior or inferior simply because you are by guna, sudra. Please understand this. But unfortunately, recently, they didn't understand this, and the result of all this chaos and confusion. So therefore, it says, having understood your nature, whatever that may be, okay, do that as a contributor in the interest of the society. This is what is called as swadharma. Dharma means nature, swa means also. So swadharma means one's own nature. According to your nature, you do. If you are a carpenter, do carpentry. If you are a tailor, do tailoring. If you are a business person, do business. If you are a cricketer, do cricket. If you are a politician, be a politician. But all these people should do whatever they have to do according to their nature, the interest of the total, remember this, it's called Loka Sangraha. Loka Sangraha means welfare of the world. When you do it in the spirit of welfare of the world, then you dissolve your vasanas. If you do it selfishly, then you increase your vasanas. So therefore, from verse 45 to 58, he talks about Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. When you direct your actions for the higher, it's called Karma Yoga. When you do your actions just for selfishness, it becomes karma. And when you do channelize your emotions towards the higher, it's called Bhakti. And when you do channelizing your thinking towards the higher, it's called Jnana Yoga. So basically, you are supposed to channelize your physical energy, your emotions, your thoughts, everything towards the Atma within. When you do that, it becomes yoga. So you are not supposed to give up anything. Whatever you are doing, please continue doing the same thing. Simply change the direction. Today, you are doing it for yourself. Now do it for the highest. Tera tujhko arpan kya lagage beta. With that attitude. With arpanabha, when you do the action and accept whatever comes out of it as a prasad, with no attachment you do the action, with arpanabha or prasadabha and sakshibha, you do what is called as karma yoga. So, thus through karma yoga, you reduce the bulk of your desires. And through bhakti yoga, channelizing your emotions, you develop or you change the quality of your desires. And through jnana, you finally make the mind single-pointed. And the single-pointed mind you apply on the higher two meditation, dhyana. And through dhyana, you drop the last thought and realize the thing. So the method is very simple. Karma Bhakti Jnana Yoga, you do every day according to your proportion. And thus, you come to the natural state of renunciation. And then, you get into meditation, dhyana. And through meditation, you drop to the last thought and realize the thing. So therefore, from verse number 45 to 58, it talks about karma bhakti jnana. And then finally, from verse number 59 to 66, I say finally because technically Bhagavad Gita finishes with verse 66 of chapter 18. Though chapter 18 has 78 verses. Technically Bhagavad Gita starts with verse number 11, chapter 2, because that is the verse Sri Krishna starts Gita Pravachan. So the entire first chapter and the 10 verses of the second chapter are only introductory portion. Technically Gita starts with 11th verse of chapter 2 and technically Gita ends with 66th verse of chapter 18. So here from verse 59 to 66, what the Lord is doing is appealing to Arjuna, appealing to all of us. Remember, Arjuna is only our representative. Through Arjuna, he is giving us the Gita, and therefore he appeals to all of us to reach the eternal self. As a human being, you have the potential to realize the self. Do not throw away the potential. to liberate. So 21 days of lockout for you to develop the habit of studying, reflecting, dissolving rasanas and liberating. So therefore he says, gaining this knowledge and liberating. Your only obligation, Swami Ramakrishna says, your only obligation is to realize yourself. You have no other obligation. I've explained this to you before. You may say, how is that possible? What are you talking? So many people are suffering now. We need to serve them. Remember that example of traveling in the flight. When you travel in the flight, the aerostat tells you at the time of emergency, the oxygen mask will fall. First help yourself and then help others. Why? If you have not helped yourself with the oxygen mask, then you help others, half a foot, two-way stroke, and you will also kill the other one. Therefore, first and foremost, you will need to be rooted. If you are not rooted in the self, all your actions will be selfish. That is what we are seeing today, isn't it? People are trying to hold. How many times they go on announcing, no need to hold, no need to hold, don't do panic shopping, everything is available, everything is available. All educated people are going and holding. Some of them are seeing this as an opportunity for them to make some money. It's very sad. Suddenly people become so selfish. What does that mean? Not that they have become selfish today. They are generally selfish. So you will not do service. So therefore we say, first realize yourself. When you realize yourself, then you understand that it is the same self that is reverberating in every being. Now there is virus is not discriminating whether you are an American or an Indian or rich or poor. Whoever you are, now India is killing Americans. Don't come here. Okay? Not just Americans killing, Indians don't come here. Indians have shut all their airports. No foreigners are allowed, doesn't matter. Even if your president comes, you are not allowed here. So what is this telling us? It is only telling us that from the surface the difference is there. From the center there is no difference. From the center we are one. At least in this few days you should realize this. So therefore first find yourself. Like Atma said, you know, find the purpose, the means to follow. All our life we are so much worried about the means. You just find yourself, the means will follow. No one who is selfless will be left alone. If you are unselfish, it's impossible that you will be unhappy. If you are selfish, it's impossible that you can be happy. It is a law. Nobody can change it. So therefore, your only obligation is to find yourself. First find yourself. And the moment you find yourself, then you identify with every being. When you identify with every being, then you look at everyone as yourself and then whatever you do will be service. You don't have to specially start an NGO to serve. I'm not saying don't start an NGO. But please start after studying Veda. Otherwise, when you go to distribute woolen blankets to others who are suffering in cold, you find that already somebody else, some other NGO has already supplied you to the hospital. Because you have not got the opportunity to give. You put yourself ahead of service. In true service, you should not be there. When the ego dies, then only there is service. Therefore, Swami Ramakrishna says, you have only obligation to realize yourself, you have nothing else. Only a person who's found the self really serves. Everybody else, through this, they want to get something for themselves. So therefore here, Sri Krishna also tells, appeals to all of us to realize the self. And then, from verse 67 to 73, he is talking about the greatness of this knowledge. See, remember this. When you are sitting in a dark room, and you are walking up and down in the room, you will get knocked against the furniture, against the wall, and you will suffer. Even if you change the arrangement there in the room, change the sofa from this place to that, you will still go through the same problem. So what you need to do is, you have to switch on the light. So therefore, in life, the most important thing is to develop the clarity of yourself. When you are lost in the desert, you need to figure out which direction the sun rises. Once you know this is the direction the sun rises, then you know the east, west, north, south, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest, everything is like. The moment you find yourself, you know everything. So therefore you need to gain the knowledge of yourself. Therefore it preaches the knowledge of the self. Whoever is teaching the knowledge, whoever is gaining the knowledge, and gaining this knowledge, it gives you qualification, suffers, etc. Only to the extent you are qualified, you will gain the knowledge. Therefore you better become a Shishya. Once you become a Shishya, you will find a teacher who will come and give you the knowledge. Even during lockdown, thanks to Zoom and internet, Wi-Fi, we will have the class. So therefore, the emphasis is on qualification. Through the qualification, you gain the knowledge, and through knowledge, you help yourself and help others. And then he asked, here, Arjuna, through this knowledge, has your delusion gone? Then Arjuna said, yes, my delusion gone. What does it mean? We told you at the beginning of the Gita that you are not suffering because of the world, you are suffering because of your attachment to the world. Understand? Your attachment to the world makes you suffer, not the world. Maybe this is in the same. One person, due to his attachment, thinks he will find joy only when he divorces her. Another person is waiting for the divorce to come through so that he can marry her. So, person being the same is a source of joy for one and source of sorrow for another, which has got nothing to do with that person, that lady. It is to do you with your attachment. So therefore, how do we analyze? Your shoka comes from raga, attachment. Remember this. Your shoka comes from raga, attachment. Your raga comes from what? Ajnanam or avidya, ignorance. Ignorance of your true nature. So from ajnanam comes raga. Ignorance of your true nature, you think you are bhakta. As a result of thinking that you are bhakta, you get attached to your husband, your children, your family, your country, your business, your dharma class, everything. And then as a result of the attachment, you suffer. Therefore, he says, once you gain the knowledge of the self, the raga, the source of suffering is removed. Once the source of suffering is removed, delusion is removed, then what remains in life is only joy. So Krishna is asking, has your delusion gone? And Arjuna says, yes, my delusion is gone. And then, this is what he talks about from verse 67 to 63. The glory of this knowledge, the fruit of this knowledge, the benefit of this knowledge, finally you achieve the self and realize the self and you will remain in joy. And then, concluding verses from 74 to 78 is by Sanjaya, where Sanjaya glorifies this beautiful dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjuna. So he says, thanks to Sri Vyasa, due to this prasad given by Sri Vyasa, my life is fulfilled here. I also gained this knowledge. And he said, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pantur Dhanusara, Tatra Sri Vijay Uduti, Dhruva Nishin Bhagir Mama. He says, wherever there is this combination of Sri Krishna, clarity, dharma, Sri Krishna stands for what? Clarity, atma, dharma. And Arjuna stands for what? Individual with skill and devotion and bhakti. So wherever there is a perfect combination of these two, individual with skill and attitude, bhakti and skill, and dharma backing that person, atma, awareness of the higher self, such a person will find what? Shri, victory Sri means prosperity. Then victory, Vijaya. Then glory, name, fame, success. I told you last week, Sri Krishna plays the flute. The flute has 7 holes. The flute represents your personality, my personality. Our personality is made up of 7 holes, 5 organs of perception, senses, 5 senses, mind and intellect. 5 senses, mind and intellect. So if the 5 senses, mind and intellect is handed over to Krishna, then beautiful Bhagavad Gita comes out of the flute. If you say, I will not hand it over to him, I will do it myself, then a jarring note comes out of it. So therefore, a combination of Sri Krishna and Arjuna means what? Skill, bhakti, jnana, dharma, all this. Wherever there is this combination, there is success, there is prosperity, there is glory, and throughout Niti means what? Sound policy, principle-based activity, principle-centered living. The moment your life is principle-centered, it becomes meaningful life. And by this he says, therefore, this combination is going to win this battle. He is cautioning Dhritarashtra to call up the battle, but he is not understanding it. Dhritarashtra is not understanding it, therefore they went for the war and they lost. So therefore, yatra yogeshwara krishnaha, yatra paanko ganodaraha, hatta shri vijayo dhuti dhuo nidhir madhirmaha. So what do we need to do? We need to develop the skill, develop devotion, and with the jnana, surrender ourselves to the totality and simply do what ought to be done, like the Nike slogan, just do it. You want to continue, add few more lines, just do it and get out. And when you do that, automatically you will be successful, peaceful and prosperous. So with that, the Bhagavad Gita ends. So if you carefully notice, Bhagavad Gita ended with the word Mama. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Pato Dhanodaraha, Tatra Shri Vijayo Bhuti, Yuvoni Nir Matir Mama. So the last word of the Gita is Mama. The first word of the Gita, how did the Gita begin? Dharma Kshetre, Guru Kshetre, Amaveta Yuryuttavaha, Mamaka Pandava Chaiva, Kimakuru Vata Sanchaya. So Bhagavad Gita began with the word Dharma and ended with the word Mama. So the entire Gita is sandwiched between Mama and Dharma. Dharma means essential nature. The essential nature of sugar is sweetness. The essential nature of bitter God is bitterness. A thing will not be what it is without it. That is called essential nature. So without Atma, he will not be what we are. Our essential nature is Atma. So the purpose of life is to realize the self. That is the meaning of Mama Dharma. And also the meaning Mama Dharma means my Dharma. If it is Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, whatever it is, do it as a spoke in the wheel of life for the welfare of the world. Thus you will exhaust the Vipassana and you realize it. So this is the central meaning of the book, the entire book Bhagavad Gita. So by the grace of the Lord, we have today concluded the Bhagavad Gita, which he started almost 10 years ago. Right? And he decided that it has to be done through Zoom session only. Probably he prefers that. Okay? So, we thank Lord and we say that we have only begun the study today. We have not concluded. So we need to go and study again and again till we realize the self. So from next week, like I said, since we started long time ago, next week we will do the summary of chapter 1. Next week, chapter 2. Like that we proceed. So the next 18 weeks we will do summary of each chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So let us conclude today's class. Hare Krishna.
Purnamidam Purnam Purnamagacchate Purnasya Purnamadaya.
Stay safe, all good, bye.